Welcome to another episode of Meet Me at the Library, the podcast that talks about programs and resources at Charlotte Mecklenburg Library. I'm Jeff Gavin, the team librarian at North County Regional Library, which is currently closed for renovations, so I'm working here at the digital branch. In this episode of Meet Me at the Library, we'll be talking about how a library writing program, Write Like You Mean It, has had an impact on library customers. You'll also get to hear some samples of their writing. We'll also be talking about library programs and resources for writing. With us today, we have Pam Turner. Pam is a senior library assistant at the Job Help Center at Main Library, which is where we're recording from. We also have Serbi Kaushik. She is a library volunteer that helps with Pam's writing programs. Pam, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Yes, good morning. I do work in the Job Help Center, and so most of my job is affiliated with workforce development programming. But a few years back, we were looking for a way to engage more customers in different kinds of programs. And I'm always interested in creative programs and things to get people thinking. So we did have a book club that met on Tuesdays that was very successful and pulled in a lot of our day customer population. So I had the idea to start a writing group. And I had never had a writing group before. Yep. So I did a little research on what a successful writing group needs. And 3 years later, here we are.
Okay, cool. Serbi, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, hi, Jeff. I'm Serbi Kaushik. I've been volunteering with PAM since 2016. I just walked into the writing group because I like to write. I'm a professional writer. I've been working back in India for the past 14 and a half years. And it was so good when I started writing. I got back my mojo. I started writing. I started getting published in American publications, which was big for me because I've only done Indian publications up until then. And I asked Pam if I could just volunteer.
Sure.
Because I'm on a dependent visa right now. I'm not permitted to work, so I can't go to work. But this was like something I want to do. I'm passionate about writing. Pam is awesome to work with. Okay. So we started working more on how can we do bigger things for the group, like getting guest speakers, you know, doing field trips, doing museum visits, and using all of this as prompts.
Okay.
To help our writers get inspired. Something different things work for different people. And that's how we started. And now we are here 3 years later.
Great. Thank you. So Pam, could you tell us some more about the Write Like You Mean It program?
Yes, I'd be happy to. So when we started in February 2016, I didn't have a lot of ideas about how to run a writing group. I hadn't even been in a writing group before. So I looked online, as all good searches start, and found some literature that was really helpful and some information from people running similar types of groups. I was referred to Pat Schneider's work, and she's worked with writing groups all around the world. And her book, Writing Alone and with Others, is kind of my foundational document. So every group meeting, we start with her five essential affirmations. And it's a big part of setting the tone for how the group goes. I'll share those with you. Number one, everyone has a strong, unique voice. Number two, everyone is born with creative genius. Number three, writing as an art form belongs to all people, regardless of economic class or educational level. Number four, the teaching of craft can be done without damage to a writer's original voice or artistic self-esteem. And our favorite, number five, a writer is someone who writes. So we start with that every week to just affirm that voice of each writer, no matter where they are in coming to the group, if they've never written anything before or they've been discouraged in the past by teachers who didn't like their work. We want to encourage them just to write something. It doesn't have to be brilliant. It's all going to be first draft work anyway. So we'll start with that and then have a prompt, something. It could be a line of poetry. It could be a picture. We've used music, all kinds of things. Yeah. And then let the writers just have some quiet time and do their writing. So maybe 15 or 20 minutes break. And then when I see that people have kind of finished what they're working on, we'll call them back and ask them if they would like to share. And sharing is something that's really important for building the self-esteem of the writers. So it's optional. A lot of times people feel shy in the beginning because they don't know everyone and they, mm-hmm. you know, don't feel confident about what they've done. But we make sure that it's a supportive environment. So the instruction is that when someone shares, we're only going to respond with, what did I like? What was strong for me? What do I remember? What am I curious about? Those kind of things to give the writer an idea what they can go back and start with to continue working on that piece. We try to keep that part really positive and also to limit outside conversation at that time so that we stick to focusing on the writing and then moving into our next writing after that. The goal of the group really is just to inspire people to create new work. And of course, some of them are writers and think of themselves that way. Some of them really are not and just find it therapeutic to write about their life experiences. I want to encourage all of that. We try to cover all genres of writing, poetry, fiction, nonfiction, memoir, science fiction, even just about anything you can think of. We'll try to make a place for that.
Sure.
And introduce new genres to people.
Sounds good. It sounds like the five essentials is really a good place to start.
Yes.
I know I've heard the expression many times, a writer writes. It's a good way to look at it. So Pam, tell me, where do you get your writing prompts from?
Everywhere. So initially I started with Pat Schneider's book, which is full of prompts. But after that, we kind of take anything at all. So sometimes we've used editorial cartoons. Sometimes we've used herbs to get the smell from them.
Hmm.
And we've used paint chips. I mean, just really
random
about
objects.
Anything. Random objects. That's
really?
One of our favorites.
Yes. So give us an example.
So I have a big box of randomness that came from my house, and it's the kind of things you might find in the back of a junk drawer. So some old keys or bottle caps or broken jewelry, mementos from different kinds of occasions. It's just a really random assortment of things that everybody probably has some connection to.
Yeah.
But
so how would you turn that into a prompt?
Well, so what I ask them to do when we're doing the random objects is to pick one item from the pile of randomness and sit with it for a minute and see what comes up.
Okay.
So usually it's going to be some kind of memory of some experience that they had with a key or a candle or whatever the object is. But sometimes people are working on fiction and they just work it into something that's happening for their character. So it's really fascinating that the same prompt can take people in 100 directions.
Right. That is very interesting. So tell me, how has the group developed over time?
Well, when we first started in 2016, we weren't sure it was going to be a success. So I did have that conversation with people week after week, because sometimes it would be just me and one or two other people, and that's not enough to keep a program running weekly. Over time, it's picked up. And we've done a few things to kind of build the interest and the attendance. One being a weekly newsletter that tells about all the events coming up in library writing groups. So that includes author talks and then the groups at various different libraries. Also special events happening in the community that are open to the public. And then we've hosted special events also. So we've had authors in the area come in and speak to our group, and that always drives a lot of interest. We've even had people on Skype who were not local to Charlotte. And that's been easier to do than I would have imagined,
And
also very helpful for us. On our second anniversary, we called in Pat Schneider and had her on the phone for the group, and she was able to deliver some inspiration to the writers, so that was very special. We've also had open mic events where writers can read their writing in front of an audience, and just, you know, always thinking of ways to keep them engaged. Last year, when it was the CPCC Sensoria Festival, our poet laureate Tracy K. Smith was in town, so we took the group on the trolley to Central Piedmont and saw Tracy K. Smith.
Okay.
And for some people, that was their first time ever seeing a big name poet in that kind of venue. So that was really special. We have gone from having two or three people a week to having 10 or 12 or 15 people, and maybe as many as 20 or 25 when we have a special event. And our writing newsletter has grown to have close to 150 people that subscribe to that. It has changed a lot for writing at Maine, and I hope for the other writing groups also.
Okay. Serbi, I understand that you have helped a lot with the growth of the group. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, I'm just doing my bit. I also attend a lot of other writing programs, like from Charlotte Lit and Charlotte Writers Club, or any event I see. I go there, I listen, and if I think that the speaker has something that can motivate my group, because our group has all kinds of writing, mm-hmm. you know, it's like so much talent in here. So I would go up to the speakers and speak to them and ask them if they could come as a guest to our group and sure. just you know, speak whatever was their specialty. And I wanted to give resources to these people who are in my group, who probably mm-hmm. some of them are aware, some of them are not, to just, you know, build that bridge between yeah. talent and resource. And I used to bring them to our group, and I think everybody who's come here has loved it, because...
Right, and I should say you've been amazing in that, because I think every one of our special guests has been one of your contacts that you've met from going to these other
yes,
groups.
Thank you.
And some of them were, like I said, were out of state, where she met them online mm-hmm. or some other way and was able to invite them, and they yeah. were, you know, agreed to be guests with our group. So that's been a really special part of it.
And all the fun things that we do, I yeah. think that generates, there are a lot of writing groups, I don't know what kind of things they do, but
sure.
we go to First World Park and sit down there on a day when the weather is good, and we just write. You know, Pam gives us a prompt, or we can pick whatever we want,
mm-hmm.
and we write. If there's nothing, we just walk through the bookshelves, we pick up books and book titles.
Okay.
Random book titles. We use that as a prompt.
Gotcha.
You know, so like she said, everything is a prompt and anything is a prompt. When you're in a group like this, I think we inspire each other.
Uh-huh.
Everybody has similar interests, and after a point of time, everybody is on the same kind of wavelength. And it's nice, because there's such good energy when
sure.
you come, and you know, it inspires, it sparks your creativity. So I think that's been the good part about the growth of this group.
So I'm curious, when people come to the group, are they writing on notepads, or are they using laptops?
Some of both. We always provide writing materials,
okay.
so that if people come in and they weren't prepared to be writing today,
mm-hmm.
sometimes people just walk in when they hear the announcement. So we always have writing pads and pens, and we always have coffee, because that's a very
yes.
essential part of keeping people happy in a writing group. It's the morning, so it's a nice thing to kind of relax. We're going to be here for an hour and a half, so it helps to have, you know, the supplies here.
Sure. So, has anybody in the group been published?
Yes, so some of our participants do have books that are published and are in the library collection, in the Carolina Author Collection. We try to help promote those
yeah.
authors. I mean, we try to promote all of the authors, to be honest, but to be sure that if they have an event, people know about it
mm-hmm.
and can attend, and people can read their book or purchase it if they like. We spread the word and support the community here.
Right. Great. Is there anything else you'd like to add about the Write Like You Mean It group here at Maine Library?
No, just please come. You're most welcome. It's every Thursday at 10.
Okay. Is there writing programs at other libraries?
There are several writing programs going on throughout the system. They have different flavors and different purposes. So it's important for people to find out a little bit about them before going. Usually when you search in our calendar online, you can tell something about the group.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are critique groups, where the writers are either bringing copies of a piece that they want to get feedback on. So it's, you know, more finished work.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, they submit the material online in advance of the group.
Yeah.
So everyone's read it before they come to the group. There are a few other groups where there's creative writing going on in the group. And then here at Maine, Serbi has started a group now called Write Stuff, where they talk about a variety of things of interest to writers. It's everything from the actual writing of the work to how to find an audience, whether that's through, you know, online publication, blogging, or traditional publishing.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because I think people write, but they're afraid to submit. There's a fear that holds them back. And I want to tell them that it's not that bad, you know. You're doing good, and you just
yeah.
need to follow these simple guidelines. And
right.
you're there, you're published.
I'm just curious, do you have anybody published, self-publishing through Kindle?
We have Vidya, who's done, Vidya Murlidhar. She is also a part of this group, and she's not here today, but she has a self-published children's book.
Okay.
The Adventures of Grandpa Andre is the title of the book. It's available in the library.
So what are some examples of where people, other examples of where people might be submitting their work?
Oh, there's so many places. So there's all different competitions depending on the type of work. So whether it's flash fiction, short stories, full-length fiction, mm-hmm. poetry, personal essays or nonfiction. There are a lot of different competitions online. There's also, of course, magazines and small presses. So there's a wide variety. It's a lot of research for someone to do depending on what
sure.
kind of work they have
yeah.
to find the right place to submit. I think the majority of rejection comes from it not being the right place mm-hmm. to have submitted that work.
Okay, gotcha. So how would you find out when and where the library programs take place?
Well, as I mentioned, I do have a newsletter, and I'm happy to add anyone that wants to be on that newsletter. So I try to just comb the catalog of the library programs. We have those listed online through our website. There's a calendar button on the main page. And when you click the calendar button, then you want to filter it a little bit to find the writing programs. So you can filter it by adults
okay.
and then writing. And then okay. that'll pull up all the adult writing programs in the system for that time period. So that's probably the easiest way to find those.
Sure.
Also, if your library doesn't have a writing program and you're interested in that, you might want to talk to the staff there and see if someone would be willing to support that.
Okay. What's the address of the website?
cmlibrary.org.
Can you tell me about any resources? Like if somebody doesn't have time to come to the library, what could they do about finding information about writing?
So check out the new page on our website that's called Resources for Writers. And from that page, you'll find out the online resources that are available. So the easiest way to find that page is to go to our website, cmlibrary.org/resources-writers. Or you can just go to the homepage and search Resources for Writers in the search box. So there are writing courses available through Universal Class and lynda.com. There's also a new program we have called Pressbooks, where you can format your book as an ebook very easily. And we're going to have some training available to use Pressbooks. But if you're not able to come to the training, Pressbooks has tutorials available online and a downloadable guide to using it. It's pretty user-friendly, so I really encourage people to try that. We also have the Selfie program where you can upload a finished book and have it be available to people in the library and out through the BiblioBoard app. So that's a really important way for people to start to build an audience for their work and get it out there.
Great. Thanks, Pam.
You're welcome.
Write Like You Mean It has had an impact on library customers. Here are some samples of their writing.
I have some herbs I brought from home. It's been very summer-like lately, and so except for the mint, which came from the grocery store, the other things came out of my garden, lavender and rosemary. So what I'd like you to do is just take a sniff of one or all three if you like. Just take a little piece and see what that smell brings to you. So I want you to just hang out with the smell for a minute, see where it takes you. If you're working on a piece of fiction, see where it takes your character. And then use that to start your first writing. So it doesn't matter what kind of thing you're writing, it could even just be a list. But use that to start writing something. And you're welcome to break off some leaves, you know, feel free.
If you guys want to record some of your work, you know, if you want to read it out loud for the podcast.
I'm John. Okay. Today's topic, I'm going to talk about pine trees. Okay, when I first seen one, I thought about a Christmas tree. But there were, but this one did not have presents under it or a star on top. Well, I knew better not to touch it because it could fall. The pine cones had blossomed. They were small and unseen. I stood there amazed, thinking to myself, how did it happen? Did it take 20 years? Did it take 50 years for it to have gotten that way? Then the wind began to blow. It felt kind of nice though. The tree stood strong without a brush from the wind.
Cool, thank you.
My name's Scott, y'all. James Scott Anderson. Here's what I wrote. OMG, I'd rather smell my dirty feet than some of the odors out here on these streets. I love the smell of polish as I spread it on my nails. I love the smell of secret in my armpits, strong enough for a man, but made for a woman. I hate it when my face breaks out in zits. I love it when I'm in my tent, candles glowing. I hate it when police treat you like a criminal. I love it when I lay down at night and my tummy's full. I love it that so many people care. I hate it that someone stole my bag of underwear. I love it that I've got these Thursday groups. Write like you mean it in tonight's Bible study. I hate it that I suffer with Crohn's disease poops. I love it that I know Jesus. He's truly my buddy.
Tammy Goslin. Lavender sachets sit on my pillow. As I breathe deep, I sleep. Lavender is light, air, and breath. Lavender is clean and soft. Lavender essential oil adds scent to my clothes. Lavender is calm and peace. Lavender soap adds scent to my hands. Lavender is one of my favorite colors. Lavender is familiar and beloved, like an old friend.
Very good.
Kendra. Rosemary. Grandma's house, here I come. Nice, comfortable sofas and cozy carpet, the kind you can rub your feet through without a worry in the world. Kitchen full of antique pots and pans, old steel kettle, smoke whistling along the walls as it unstopped your nose right before fall. China cabinet filled with porcelain dolls, ready for all the seasons. Boxes being unpacked, ready for summer. Blankets on the line as she pulls a clothespin at a time from her apron with much patience. Tide Downy Rosemary Mix. Ironing board, spray starch, gas stove, hot curlers, washing machine. Grandma's house was a place we all seen, not worrying about anything. Cornbread, cod liver oil. Grandma was the thread. Glass candy bowl sits in the middle of her table, full of peppermints and butterscotch. Cloth soft as cotton. She had me spoiled rotten. Rosemary will never be forgotten.
I want to go again because mine is cooking too. Kay tried to focus on the recipe. YouTube was not helping. Neither was his mother's instructions on the phone. That's the thing about cooking. It always looked easier when someone else was doing it. I really don't have a choice, do I? He said out loud as he looked with vengeance at the fresh bunch of mint leaves. A frustrated shrug escaped his shoulders. He had to impress Ruby with his cooking skills based on the story that he had made up. Ruby loved the taste of mint, but he hated cooking and hated mint, but he loved Ruby.
All right, I also wrote about cooking. Fresh herbs chopped roughly, adding their voices to the chorus of garlic and onions sizzling nearby, bathing my senses, drawing out sighs and chuckles trapped from days without rest. Ingredients fall into the pan, lending their life to the effort, nurturing, heightening, dancing into the big finale, delivered up to the gods and consumed by the willing. Dinner time.
My name is Josh Smalls. So when I smelled the mint, finally it kind of made me think about when I used to go to South Carolina from New York all the time, hearing all those stories. So I wrote this. And suddenly, I imagine the times when they walked to and fro, miles and miles from grocery stores and even long work days, back when colored folks had to use the back door and separate drinking fountains, yet they still found a way to smile. They found a way to survive, even though they didn't have permission to do otherwise. Still, they pressed on, even with their feet moving to a left and right fashion against the heated dirt roads of the Dixie South. Can you imagine going to school back then? Having to cross bushes of rosemary and mint-scented gardens, I bet there were plenty of fresh fruit trees and windows with fresh apple pies set out for cooling. I imagine that heated sun almost cooking every inch of your exposed skin, and you know, it's amazing how a scent can take you on a travel, how a whiff of everyday fragrance can journey you back to a land far, far away from here, even to a time when your complexion was illegal and you could be called boy or girl even in your old age. Yet, you can always enjoy a moment in a scent.
Oh my
gosh.
And I haven't introduced you yet.
Oh, that's fine.
Josh Miles is working together on a Poetry Month project for us, and he is a slam poet here in Charlotte and does poetry coaching also. So thank you for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Rosemary, and I put pine needles beside that. I don't know if I put my name, Shirley G. Rosemary to me was household cleaner mixed with ammonia or bleach. The smells while watching my mom, my aunties, and my grandmother clean house on Saturday morning. There were no sponge mops, just a large yellow plastic gloves, a bucket of water, and an old mop with long braids that looked like it had seen its best days. Then I did the mint leaves, the smells of climbing trees with branches and leaves popping your face, the sight of girls trying to climb trees like boys, but forgetting the boys had on long pants and the girls had on shorts and dresses.
That took me down memory lane.
Yeah.
My name is John. Rosemary is a memory. It is a forgotten memory. A calm evening, standing in the backyard in Bullhead, an hour's drive south of Las Vegas. The sun had just set, but still gave off a faint red hue. The backyard's bare earth, just like the desert that surrounds it, surrounds me. Whereas the dry air has difficulty carrying the smells of the desert, there is a distant storm coming. The vanguard of moisture holds the smell around me before it eventually washes it away. There was nothing special about this moment, yet after so many years, why does Rosemary take me back to this forgotten memory?
So how's everybody doing first? Doing all right? What I was thinking about today, I like comedy, so I watch a lot of comedy shows. And anybody know who Cat Williams is? The real short guy with the pretty hair? He said that he's tired of people saying that you are just this or you're just that. So he said, Josh Smalls is my name. I'm just this name poet.
You a poet?
Yes. I do it full time. This is my first time here. I live in Charlotte. I'm from New York, but I live in Charlotte now. I'm just me. I am published. I had self-published two books already, and I'm actually in the process of writing three at the same time right now. One is about being a Lyft driver. The other one is a short book of love poems, and the other one is basically is leading to my one-man show. So it's all of my life dramas and traumas and so forth. So that one's kind of heavy. But I can't do one project at a time. I just can't do it. So, yeah, I'm always writing three poems at a time. So,
where do you perform?
I'm at Petra's first Tuesday. That's here.
Petra.
Every first Tuesday, my slam team meets there. Every third Tuesday, I'm at Loft and Cellar. We do painting poetry there. I just canceled my Thursdays because we're going to do something else. And we're putting something together here. Mm-hmm. So Ms. Pam will be able to tell you about that as soon as we get everything in. But we got quite a few things going. And also a poetry festival, which is actually going to be a festival about all writers. It's a lot going on with that, too. So I'll be able to fill you in on all that stuff, too. So just look for the email, right?
Yes.
There we go. Mm-hmm. So back to Cat Williams. Cat Williams was saying that, you know, people look at you and say, oh, you know, you're just a poet. You're just a writer. You're just a comedian. And he said he had to realize that your reality really is what you make your reality to be. So, for instance, he said he gets in his mirror every day and he just lies to himself and says, hey, you look like you grew a little bit. Because Cat Williams is really short. And what I got from that is basically, it's not so much of him saying that, you know, I'm this short guy, I'm not going to grow, but it's what do you see in that mirror? And then what do you tell yourself in that moment? You know what I mean? Do you tell yourself, oh, I'm just a paper poet, you know, or I'm just a performance poet? Why don't you tell yourself that you are everything that you want yourself to be? So I tell my daughter, set the bar up high. And the reason being is because if you set it up high, you're going to push that much harder to get there. And by the time you realize it, whether you break that barrier or not, you've accomplished so much just trying to get to that point, you know, and realize it. I'll give you a prime example. I've been doing poetry here for 6 years this June. And when they told me, you need to get your body, you need to get all your stuff written up. And after the third page, and I realized I still have work that I haven't written down, I started crying. Because I didn't realize how much work I've done. You see what I'm saying? So I was trying to create this prompt on the way in, but, you know, life doesn't always be that sweet and fine. Mm-hmm. But I want you to think about whatever you're going to write about, right, with this prompt. I want you to think about being in the mirror.
Think about and being where?
Standing in the mirror.
In the mirror?
In the mirror. And what you see in that mirror is everything that you want to be. Everything that you want to accomplish. It doesn't have to necessarily just be as a writer, but everything in life that you want to accomplish, right? Every single thing that you said, I know I have it to do this, even if you doubted it before. And we're going to write an I am poem, or I am writing. It doesn't have to be a poem. I am. So you're going to tell yourself that you are everything that you thought about in that. So the title should be I Am. Now that's open for so much. Because I don't want to make it too metaphoric. That takes away from it. I am. And write everything that you are. However you want to write, it doesn't matter. There's no such thing as a wrong write. Everything that you are, I want you to write. We got it? Anybody have any questions? Get in that mirror and let's get in that mirror.
Hi, my name is EJ. I am perseverance personified, strength manifested, beauty beheld. I don't run away from adversity. Adversity has learned to run away from me. I attack like a lion, killing my prey, but with a respectful grace that astounds the mind. I uphold the struggles of those that came before me and build higher from what they set. My goals are clear, and I'm going to accomplish them. When life gives me lemons, I not only make lemonade, I also make lemon-scented candles, lemon-scented deodorant, lemon-scented hair oil, lemon-scented soap, anything with those lemons. So life, bring it, because I'm always on ready, set, waiting to go.
I am the finer thing, skin so soft, Jaguar with the exhaust, diamonds, pearls, rubies, decked with gold, three stories high, lake in the back, healthy and whole, integrity, meekness, patience, joy, loving, friends, family, chandeliers, glass doors, sapphire floors, children completed college, dining room, white love seats, two Siberian tigers, 80-inch flat screen, walls dazzling, money falling from the ceiling, no debt, goat and lamb, seven husbands, seven women servants, fine raiment, pocketbooks, never spoken of, red carpet being rolled out, limousines, the throne giving, helping, calling shots, a virtuous woman, no drugs, no alcohol, white horses, carriages, amethyst glass slippers, and my daughter's carrying my legacy forever. Long live the queen.
I don't know what this is, but I just started writing. My name is Jemiah Turns. I am beautiful from my head to my toes, flaws and all. Come from hell and back to get here. I came through the fire. Traumatic life, abuse, single motherhood, teenage parents, a messed up family, and I conquered it all. I was told college wasn't an option, but I graduated in 2016. I said no to a life of abuse and trauma and said yes to a life of strength and peace. I made it through a generational curses that tore my family apart. So for that, I say I am strong.
My name is Cindy Garcia and the prompt is titled I Am. I am strong. I am vulnerable. The image that you see is a soul uncovering her true essence. I am courageous. I am a learner. Woe to thee who steps into virgin territory, who becomes intimate with her untold stories. I am change. I am a leader, the first to step into the unknown, to encourage others to do the same. All of this I am. All of this we are. We are strong.
Scott?
Sometimes I hate what I see in the looking glass. Can that really be me? Where's my missing ass? Where's my youth? Where's my handsome face? Where's the homecoming king that once stood in my place? Mm. Man, the years have surely flown by, and I can't help but wonder why. Why for this? Why for that? And for the other thing, too. Why do I do all the dumb shit I do? I believe it's all because of the way I was raised. Six sisters and me and a miserable dad. He stole all our youth, stole all of our joy, took away all the fun that we should have had, broke all of our hearts. God knows he was bad. But I guess it all occurred for a reason. At this time of my life and in this season, it's made me this person. I am who I am. God made me his own son, and with him I can.
All right, I got one. It's a little morbid, though, so does anybody have something cheery for afterwards? All right, now, this is, I'm saying this as a participant, not as a librarian. All right. So I am a sinner saved by God's grace who looks forward to heaven to escape this place. I want to see Jesus, and I want to see my own son, but he is not the only one. My sister is there, and my grandparents, too. So many others who made their way through. I am the husband of a grieving wife who also looks forward to the very next life. I am the father of a grieving son who still wants to do good for everyone. I hope he'll be here long after I'm gone. His life will make a beautiful song.
I'm Tammy Goslin. At the beginning of this year, I was really intent on doing some imaging and some goal setting. So it kind of like threw a whole bunch of stuff in here so it'll come out like sounding like goal setting stuff. That's what you're gonna hear. I am 5'5" tall and 15% body fat, built with lots of muscle tone visible and a ripped belly showing a six-pack. I could compete in a bodybuilding competition if I so chose, but that's a story for another day. I have a great relationship with my family and son. I have lots of relationships with friends near and far, deep and healthy relationships that I enjoy. I travel on a regular basis and enjoy writing and volunteering in the community. I am published as a poet, a short story writer, an essayist, and author of a book, and I also write and am awarded grants for my local library and other nonprofits. Hint, hint. I also volunteer at the local library in addition to participating in book clubs and writers groups. I enjoy leading groups about health topics and encouraging others to make healthy changes in their lives through diet and exercise. I publish a book about my own health journey, going from a morbidly obese woman to a physically fit woman who could be a competitor in a bodybuilding competition one day. My triglycerides were 2,000. My cholesterol was 600. My weight was 220 pounds. Thank you. What I see in the mirror has changed and is changing in amazing ways and will continue to change in amazing ways going forward. I know now how to take care of myself, how to be good to myself, and how to put the oxygen mask on myself before helping others, and that has made all the difference.
I am the fifth person in my neighborhood and the third person in my family named Shirley. Born at a time when your parents shared with the neighborhood that their child was going to be as successful and popular as the cutest little curly-haired girl on the movie screen who danced with Bill Bojangles Robinson. Once I figured things out and I tried to live up to the dream, she could sing. Well, I was on the choir and I played piano. She could dance. I loved the twist and the mashed potatoes. She could act. I quoted Happy Birthday, Dear Jesus, annually for the church Christmas program. But then I grew up, and so did she. So did my namesake. She became a political representative for the United States. I became a mom and an educator. We both followed our dreams. Her name was Shirley Temple Black. My name is Shirley Graham Jones.
I am a dreamer. I dream big, and I believe all my dreams will come true. I am and will be a great mom. A mom who has raised her son to be kind and respectful, because these are the two things that I often find missing in today's world. I am and will be a writer who can move you to tears,
yes,
or make you roll with laughter with the power of my words. I am a writer you may love or hate, but still want to read. You want to know me through my words. You want to keep my word with you, in your heart, in your head, in your laptop, and weave them in your life in a way that they cannot escape. I am a friend who will always be there for you when you are drowning in the depths of sorrow or flying high with happiness. I am a dreamer who dreams that the world is a happy place and I can make it happier by just being me.
I am full of ideas, of joy, of silliness, motherly wisdom and righteous disbelief, a voice for justice, shoulder to cry on, strong back to carry more than my share, sultry jazz blue notes and peaceful meditations, wickedly sarcastic and genuinely warm, ready to inspire or rescue as needed, occasionally exhausted, always grateful for what has crossed my path.
I kind of just was going, so just bear with me. I am the father I never knew. The strange fruit hanging from those trees. I'm the Pulitzer Award winner several times on my quest. I'm everything you need. I am the sun who shines like the brightest tomorrow. Fallen but not broken, holding on to some, so many gifts, some you may need to borrow. I am full of vigor, drunken with selflessness and compassion. I am the king slayer and the martyr, complete in my own fashion. I am the ace in a hole, the truth in a reservoir of uncertainty. I am so deeply rooted on the straight and narrow, I'm a walking metaphor. In other words, there will be no serving me. I am larger than the boy child, bigger than the firstborn. I'm the thunder after the lightning stops. I am both the calm and the storm. I am a survivor, a victim, the coach without the titles and trophies. I'm a walking time bomb in the world of moments, but still on my chill thing, so you would like to get to know me. I am picture perfect, ham sculpted vulture, because I raise the dead with nouns and verbs. I'm like Jesus walking on water holes. I'm always ready here and now with words. I am America's most wanted, a nonfiction novelty. I'm West Side Story written in a new day, pulling Trump cards in the game of Monopoly. I am Nikes before Jordan, raised fists and shouting mobs. I'm the regal in the highlights of a clear blue sky. I am the answer when everybody else asks why. I am not the image of what I used to be. I'm the epitome of royalty. I am black excellence. This is how you will notice me. I am.
You sound like a professional poet.
I figured that out when you say your first poem.
Yeah.
He's a professional poet. He had the cadence.
Don't roll your eyes when you say
it. You just got to keep reading, that's all.
Yeah.
And then, like, certain poems have different cadences. Like, some of my other stuff, like, this is stuff I'm writing now, but some other stuff still sounds different.
Just gotta know.
Yeah. And the more you write, and I always tell people, do your poems in the mirror, because you'll get to see yourself actually doing it. So I've had some injuries. I have a lot of nerve damage in the side of my face. Sometimes I talk out the side of my mouth. When I look in the mirror, I acknowledge it. So I open my mouth wider when I'm actually performing, after I pay attention to it. Use the mirror and it'll help you out. It'll help you.
Thank you for joining us for Meet Me at the Library. We hope you've enjoyed this program, and I want to thank Pam and Serby for helping us out with the program, and I want to thank everybody who gave us samples of their writing. Look for upcoming episodes on the Digital Branch at digitalbranch.cmlibrary.org. Visit our website, www.cmlibrary.org. Don't forget to check the library's calendar and resources pages. You can also find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram, hashtag CM Library or at CM Library. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Thank you all.